podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi folks, welcome to the Double Gaming 34 preview episode of the 59th Minute FPL podcast, which is brought to you by Fantasy Football Scouts. I'm Mark McGettigan, you'll find me on social media at FPL General. FPL deadline this Saturday is a little bit later than usual, 1:30 PM UK time. My free hit chip is active, so a lot of this podcast will be in relation to that, but I have split the question section in half in terms of free hit questions and non-free hit ones as well. The structure will be a quick 59th minute welcome to a new member, some stats from Gaming 33, a free hit watch list, listener questions, my latest free hit draft, and I'll finish up with captaincy for the double game week. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening for future episodes and leave a 5-star review as well. A very warm welcome to the 59th minute club to Konstantinos Mavropanos from West Ham. He had another shocker. He gifted a goal to Andreas Pereira, and worst of all, he joins the 59th minute club. So welcome, Mavropanos. Hopefully we'll get a few more joining him over the final 5 game weeks of the season. A few stats that caught my eye from Game Week 33 from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Defenders first of all, Andy Robertson, 4 chances created. He's put his hand up for inclusion on the free hit. Sergio Reguilon at Brentford, 3 chances created and looks a good option with good fixtures for the rest of the campaign. Elsewhere, Virgil van Dijk registered 4 goal attempts, so it's a big decision for free hitters. Do you go Trent now that he's back? Robertson's posting good numbers. Van Dijk for security of minutes. So I'll talk about all those guys again later. Gvardiol at Manchester City also had 4 goal attempts on the score sheet twice in recent times. 1 in Europe, 1 in the league. He seems to be the best City defender if you're looking to go there. And elsewhere, Robertson again took 7 corners in game week 33. Midfielders, Anthony Gordon. I was so close to getting him. Because of the team leaks, I went Foden instead. No regrets, really. It was my own decision. But in another universe, I picked Gordon instead of Foden, and I would have been about 15 or 16 points better off. Gordon, very impressive numbers in Game Week 33. 8 chances created. A lot of that down to the fact he took 16 corners for Newcastle. A player, I've been saying it for weeks, regretted not getting him back in on the Game Week 30 wildcards. I really need to try and get this guy in at some point before Newcastle's double game week. Elsewhere, in terms of chances created, Kevin De Bruyne with 7, Mohamed Salah with 5, and Dwight McNeil with 4. So Dwight McNeil, an outside differential punt for free hitters with Everton's double game week. Elsewhere, Kluivert's at Bournemouth had 5 goal attempts, 3 of which were from inside the box. Again, another differential who's been passing the eye test in recent game weeks. And Cole Palmer, 4 goals. He also had the same numbers as Kluivert, 5 attempts, 3 of which were from inside the box. Does Palmer stay on a free hit, or does he leave for a double game weeker? Bukayo Saka had 4 shots in the box. He's certainly going to be back in for me this game week. In terms of forwards, Alexander Isak did the business. He had 6 shots in the box. Erling Haaland had 5. And João Pedro at Brighton, also 5 shots in the box. Isak and Erling Haaland had 3 big chances each. Again, does Isak or Haaland make a free hit squad this week, or does it have to be double game week picks? I've put a specific free hit Game Week 34 watch list together, more so for myself, when I sit down with a beer Friday night and try and finalise this free hit squad. I'll run through it in terms of each position. Goalkeepers, first of all, not something I usually cover on the watch list, but of course I will this week because I can pick anyone in the game. The 3 options under consideration are Alisson at Liverpool, David Raya at Arsenal, and I think Henderson at Crystal Palace, because of the 2 home fixtures, is next best. Defenders, 3 Liverpool guys, Trent, Robertson and Van Dijk. I don't think it's straightforward on which of those players to pick. Trent is very, very tempting for free hit managers, because I think most non-free hitters will struggle to get there because of his price, or maybe just have concerns over his minutes. I still do have concerns over his minutes. I'll talk about it again later, because there's a lot of games in a short space of time for Jurgen Klopp's team, and I don't expect Trent to start every single one of them, but maybe Trent doesn't need too many minutes to be productive FPL-wise. Robertson's an option, playing more regularly in recent times, but I keep coming back to Van Dijk for security of minutes, and we know he has goal threat as well. I like centre-backs when it comes to double game weeks. You don't need to worry too much about their minutes. You don't have to sweat over the team sheets when it gets to midweek for the second round of matches. For those reasons, Gabriel at Arsenal is going to stay as well. I don't really see any reason to lose him. Other Arsenal defenders on the watch list are Saliba and Ben White. Do I go double Arsenal defence, or do I go double attack? Leaning towards double attack at the moment. Also got some Crystal Palace defenders on the free hit watch list. Munoz, the right wing back, and Mitchell, the left wing back. I probably should have Anderson here as well as a centre back option for the same reasons mentioned for Van Dijk and Gabriel. But I'm pretty confident that Mitchell and Munoz will start both games, and I like the wing backs for Palace rather than the centre-backs. And elsewhere, if I'm stuck for one more defender from another team, I'm probably going to triple up on Liverpool, Arsenal and Palace. But as we'll talk about later, I'm struggling with the goalkeeper position, because if you triple up on Liverpool, Arsenal and Palace outfielders, you have to go elsewhere for a goalkeeper, and that might end up being the case for a defender as well. So someone like Senesi at Bournemouth, he's got, I think it's 3 goals, 4 assists for the season, pick up 2 assists in the most recent fixture. A lot of people were stockpiling him for a previous double game week, and he got injured beforehand. So again, I think he's an option for this one as well, but only if I need him because of too many picks elsewhere from other teams. Midfielders, Mohamed Salah and Luis Diaz on the watch list from Liverpool. Salah will definitely be in. Diaz is fighting it out against Trent, Robbo, maybe even Van Dijk, Alisson and Darwin. I think Liverpool is the hardest triple up to lock down on this free hit. Arsenal midfielders, Saka will come back in. Under consideration also for a double up are Odegaard and Havertz. Good to see Odegaard back from his injury scare to play midweek. Havertz has been flying recently, so good chance Havertz might win that battle. Crystal Palace midfielders Eze and Olise. Eze is definitely going to be in. He's also under consideration for the captain's armband, along with Salah and Saka, and maybe even Solanke. I think those are probably the top 4 captaincy candidates. Put a poll on Twitter, so I'll run through that when we get to the captaincy section at the end. Olise, very tempting, but again, I come back to security of minutes. Just back from injury. Will he get 90 minutes in both games? Unlikely. Is there a chance he's benched in one of the games? Possibly. So I'm leaning towards avoiding Olise for those reasons. And then you've got a couple of single game week options. Cole Palmer away to Arsenal after scoring 4 goals against Everton. Arguably the best FPL pick in the game this season. So should he just stay on a free hit even though it's Arsenal? I'm leaning towards going against him. I think free hits is exactly what it is. It's a free hit. 1 week. Go for it, go for broke. If it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. Some of these single game workers with high ownership can of course hurt, and Cole Palmer is certainly one of those. But when it's a fixture against the best defence in the league, I'm just hoping Palmer doesn't do too much. If he scores, fine. As long as he doesn't score 2 or 3, I'm confident a double game worker from another team can outscore him. Bruno, likewise, good fixture at home to Sheffield United. I still feel like you rely on penalties a lot with Bruno Fernandes. And when I can get penalty takers at other teams who have 2 fixtures, I'm probably going to do that instead. And I've got Sarabia at Wolves on the watch list here as well, who has a double game week. Forwards, single game weekers under consideration, Erling Haaland, Ollie Watkins and Alexander Isak. I'm going to find it hard to lose Isak after his brace. Watkins has been so consistent and has a good fixture. And Erling Haaland plays Brighton, but he did pick up that knock in the Champions League. Erling Haaland was in my first wildcard draft, but he's not in my latest one. And I think I am just going to go for it. Have fun with a free hit. Go for 11 double gameweekers in the starting 11 and avoid the likes of Haaland, Watkins, Isak and Cole Palmer. What could possibly go wrong? Double gameweek strikers. Dominic Solanke's been in my team for a while and he's definitely going to stay this week with a double gameweek. Elsewhere, Mateta at Crystal Palace, I like a lot. But is he in the top three Crystal Palace picks is the big question. Mateus Cunha, I like at Wolves as well. But I kind of put him in the same category as Olise, as slightly scared about getting two starts out of those players. And then there's that man, the last name on the watch list, Darwin Nunez. Dare I go back there? I was dead against going there, but then when he didn't start on Thursday night, that kind of piqued my interest again. And if I've got concerns over Cunha's minutes, Olise's minutes, of course I've got concerns over Darwin's minutes as well, but I would fancy him to get a good chunk now over the two games, given that he got a bit of a rest on Thursday. So Darwin is still in the running, but again, he's up against the likes of Diaz, Trent and Robertson and maybe even Alisson, so it's going to be quite hard for Darwin to force his way into the squad. Before I answer the listener questions, a quick Patreon plug. It's patreon.com/FPL General, or you can just Google FPL General Patreon and you should be able to find it. Extra content in terms of ITS podcasts. I did a live stream on Thursday night, which gets converted into a podcast as well. Q&A coming up on Friday afternoon, press conference roundup, all that kind of stuff. And a team reveal, of course, before the deadline. So if you're interested in supporting me and the podcast and getting some extra FPL content for the rest of the season, patreon.com/FPL General. Like I said, I've split these questions in half. The first bunch are free hit related. The second half are non-free hit. Dominic Hurst asks, Erling Haaland, not in any of my free hit drafts, but should he be? Like I said, he was in my first one, but I don't think he's going to be in my final one. If we get positive news on his fitness, then of course he can be included. It is Erling Haaland at the end of the day, and he can score a brace or a hat-trick against anyone. But the little knock, the early substitution in, I think it was an extra time in the Champions League, is enough for me just to go elsewhere. I was tempted to go elsewhere anyway, and that just seals the deal for me that I'm going to get a double game week replacement for him. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a double game week forward. You can go 3-5-2 and get a midfielder to replace Haaland in a free hit. So I don't think he's going to make the cut. Question from Shane FPL. Is Trent worth a punt given his decent minutes in Europe? Or is Van Dijk or Robertson a more sensible pick for the double? I do think Van Dijk is the pick when it comes to Liverpool, just for safety, security, himself and Alisson and probably Salah are the best in terms of expected minutes. If we look at Liverpool's schedule, so Trent played 42 minutes off the bench against Crystal Palace, and that probably wasn't planned. They probably wanted to play him less minutes in that game. That was due to the Bradley injury, I'm pretty sure. Then he played 72 minutes on Thursday night against Atalanta. And if we look at Liverpool's schedule, if you include that Atalanta game, they play Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday early kickoff. So four games in about 9 days, 9 or 10 days. That's scary for a player like Trent, who's coming back from an injury. And we know he was nowhere near ready to play the first European fixture against Atalanta. So he's certainly unlikely to be at 100% just yet. And it's going to be, you know, I'm sure they'll take the sensible approach and manage his minutes. Does he get two starts? Does he get 70 minutes and 90 minutes? Of course, it's possible. And if he does in those fixtures, he could do extremely well. But I keep coming back to Van Dijk, like I say. Security minutes, also has goal threat. And I think less frustration is likely if you go for a Van Dijk over a Trent. So famous last words, you can clip this when Trent scores 25 points and Van Dijk gets absolutely nothing. But yeah, for me, Trent's not going to stop anyone from taking a punt. I might end up there, but I think I'm more likely to go Van Dijk and two attackers. Question from FPL Devil's Advocates. Who are your favourite Crystal Palace assets? And would you have three of them on a free hit? Eze is a lock for me. This is FPL Devil's Advocate saying that. Eze is a lock. Torn between Olise and Mateta. and Munoz/Mitchell/Henderson for my other two spots. Yeah, when it comes to Crystal Palace, I think they're the next best double game week team this week after Arsenal and Liverpool. I've been very impressed of what I've seen of them under the new manager, Oliver Glasner. I think they're ticking along very nicely. I like that they've got two home games in this double. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to go all in and get three of them. Eze is also a lock for me. It's a question of which other two to go for, and it might depend on what my Liverpool and Arsenal picks are. For example, if I go three Liverpool, three Arsenal outfield options, then Henderson will be my goalkeeper. Then I need to decide, do I go without a defender like Munoz, or do I go without Mateta? I don't think I'm going to end up on Alisse. Yeah. And it's tough because I really like Henderson, Munoz and Mateta. I think they're all very good options for this double game week. At the moment, leaning towards, I think in an ideal world, if I took away my Liverpool-Arsenal picks and I was starting with Crystal Palace, it would be Eze, I think Munoz and Mateta. But I might need to go without one of those guys to get Henderson instead. I really don't want to get a Pickford or a Sa or a Neto. I'd rather get Henderson over those guys. Question from William Bain. Who is the best goalkeeper in a free hit squad? So, taking away everything else again that has a knock-on effect on the goalkeeper position. Number one, David Raya. Number two, Alisson. Number three, Henderson. Question from Jonathan. If Liverpool and Arsenal players are the premium free hit assets, is it a waste to use them in defence? And should we look to prioritise Liverpool and Arsenal attackers? I don't think you need to go, you know, triple attack from both teams. It's certainly an option. I still like the defenders. You know, Gabriel, I just think, is an easy pick. I don't think you need to be too clever with a free hit. Gabriel's, you know, right up there as the best defender in FPL this season. Huge goal threat. And very good chance of clean sheets as well. So Gabriel is a lock. And again, I like Van Dijk for similar reasons. Goal threat, security minutes, chance of clean sheets. So I'm probably just going to have two. One from each, one from Arsenal, one from Liverpool. And then I think I'd like to have double attack from both teams as well. To me, it just feels a bit more exciting on a free hit. You know, maybe double Arsenal defence is the sensible play. But I still view myself as chasing rank. I'm 77k. My target is top 50k, and because I'm still trying to get to where I want to be, I want to play a little bit more aggressively. You know, if I was ranked in the top 10k right now, or if I was already in the top 50k, maybe then I'd be more likely to get double Arsenal defence, you know, Ben White or a Saliba or a David Raya. But I still think I'd probably be on double Liverpool attack regardless of rank position or mini league position. But there's no right or wrong way here. I think, you know, if you want to be totally differential, why not go, you could go triple, you could go nuts, you could go triple Arsenal defence, triple Liverpool defence. And who knows, it could work out. Even double Liverpool defence, double Arsenal defence will be very different to most teams this game week. So play it your way. Do what feels exciting to you. Have a bit of fun with it. Again, I always come back to fun. This game should be fun. And there's no game week in the season more fun than free hit. Question from Ryan. Are there any single game week players you think can easily outscore some of the popular doublers? And if so, who are they? There's always loads of options in single game weeks who have a single game week that can outscore the guys that I've been mentioning so far in the podcast. Cole Palmer for one, all the City guys, Erling Haaland, Phil Foden, Kevin De Bruyne, depending on who plays. Ollie Watkins is a great fixture. Manchester United plays Sheffield United, Bruno Fernandes, Garnacho, Hoyland, and Newcastle. Even though I like Palace, Newcastle are away to Palace. Gordon and Isak are just two fantastic FPL picks who are banging form after the most recent game week. So yes, of course, some of those names I just mentioned will outscore some of the players I pick in my free hit squad, but I will always lean towards double game week options. Question from FPL Potter, who is on a free hit at 300k. I'm looking for at least one differential with Burnley at home and Manchester United away. What are your thoughts on Ben Brereton-Diaz as a one-game week punt? He has 39 points from 8 games and he's just 0.4% owned. A bit of end-of-season fun. If your idea of fun, FPL Potter, is buying a Sheffield United player, I would love to know what you get up to at your weekends. All joking aside, Diaz is fine. the fixtures are good. It's Burnley, which is great. And Manchester United is a great fixture these days as well for attackers. So I don't mind it. If I had a gun to my head, held hostage, Mark, you need to buy a Sheffield United player for a double game week, it would be Diaz, I think. I like him most. I think he is a midfielder in the game, so it's hard to fit him in when you're there's a lot of good Liverpool and Arsenal and, you know, Eze and the likes. But yeah, Brereton Diaz is fine, especially 300k. If you are looking just to have a bit of fun with it and try and just spike a crazy differential that you can tell the grandkids about when Brereton Diaz gets a double hat-trick in Game Week 34 in 2024, why not? Question from Ollie. Thinking of bench boost in Game Week 34, how many players would you recommend? I can get a 12 doublers and 3 single game weekers. Am I getting too hung up on the double game week players? Yeah, going back to the previous question, there's loads of good single game weekers this week. So if you've got a few of them already, and if you could even get some of them in with transfers if you fancy them for the rest of the season as well, then bench boost is totally viable for a lot of teams this week. I'm seeing quite a few people I've been talking to this week. They were still unsure, you know, free hit versus bench boost, or they've already used the free hits. Some people were even, you know, originally planning bench boost 37, but now they realise 34 looks great, even with one or two transfers. So if you're very close to having a very good bench boost team this week, go for it. And I wouldn't worry, Ollie, about how many doublers you have. You can get to 12, but even if you have 10 and 5 single game workers, if they've got good fixtures, if your bench looks good, absolutely bench boost is fine this week. Question from FPL Bafana. For those not on free hits, how do you feel about hits of the minus 4 kind for extra double game week players? For example, would you take a hit just because a player has one more game? For example, Dubravka to Alisson. Hits are fine. Hits are always fine. And hits are more fine when it's a double game week or a blank game week. So for this is a good example. Dubravka to Alisson. Dubravka, you can't rely on him for the rest of the season because Nick Pope is likely to come back. So even when it gets to double game week 37 for Newcastle, Dubravka might not be a reliable pick unless Pope suffers a setback or something like that. So I think both players, Dubravka and Alisson, have the same amount of games for the rest of the season, but you don't know that about Dubravka, whereas you do with Alisson. So I would make that move. I think that's fine for a minus four, especially when Dubravka is away to Palace this week. Eze is going to score 4 goals, so you don't want Dubravka for that fixture. So Dubravka to Alisson, absolutely fine for a minus 4, and there's plenty of other similar ones like that. And of course, take into account, do you want to own that player for the rest of the season as well? And of course, Alisson is an absolutely fine pick for the next 5 game weeks. Question from Keith Cameron. Non-free hit question. I can afford to bring in either a second Arsenal defender or a Crystal Palace attacker. Which would you do? Gut instinct, second Arsenal defender. They've been fantastic this year. And if you're like me and you've only had one Arsenal defender for the last few weeks, you don't gain anything. You actually lose when Arsenal keep a clean sheet. So as attractive as players like Eze and Mateta and Olise are this week, first port of call, I think, should be a second Arsenal defender. It's the sensible decision. Question from Ryan. Is bringing in Watkins or Isak for Darwin really suboptimal when both are in far better form than the Uruguayan? It feels like we always get so caught up in double game weeks, we overlook single game week players that are far better choices. Really like this question, and something those of us who maybe put too much value in double game weeks, I'm looking in the mirror here at myself. If you're sitting on a Darwin right now and you don't have a free hit and you're unhappy owning him, and maybe if you don't think he starts both games, if you just think Watkins and Isak are by far superior FPL picks for this week and for the rest of the season, don't be afraid to do something that most people will say, what on earth are you doing? Because Ryan mentioned suboptimal here. You know, when you look at stuff like FPL review and a few other things that will, you know, suggest, you know, what are the optimal picks for certain game weeks, when it comes to doubles, a lot of it is just down to minutes. And I'm sure those websites this week rate Darwin probably ahead of Watkins and Isak, but it's all down to minutes. And, you know, if you think about it, if I offered you 90 minutes of Isak or Watkins versus 140 minutes of Darwin, I don't think that's an easy decision, because Isak has penalties for a start. Watkins is amazing this season. And Darwin, you know, is probably going to miss a few chances that he gets. So it's not as straightforward as the minutes would suggest. And I do think we are guilty maybe of overlooking really good picks for doublers. And maybe I need to think about that when I'm finalising my free hit squad. But again, I'm just going to go for the fun approach and get the doublers. So I probably will fall on a Darwin this week if I decide to go there over a Watkins or an Isak. But would I be surprised if Watkins or Isak, you know, massively outscore Darwin? Could easily happen. Darwin could blank in both games. Isak and Watkins are capable of braces and hat-tricks in any fixture, and they've both got okay fixtures this week. Watkins actually got a, you know, pretty good fixture. Am I right in saying Watkins did play 120 minutes on Thursday night, though? I think they play Sunday, so, you know, could Villa be jaded after that one? Possibly. But certainly Isak is a man on fire. So, yeah, good question and food for thought, I think, for all of us on that one. Question from FPL Owl. While carding in Game Week 35, was planned to play Garnacho this week, who I've had for a while. Is it still worth playing him, given his early sub / naughty step, or a minus four for Olise? We'll be bringing in Eze with my free transfer. Yeah, Garnacho is a tricky one this week for non-free hitters. The substitution was worrying, and the comments probably even more so. So I do expect Garnacho to start the next game, but if there's enough doubt in your mind, and if you want to avoid the massive frustration that would be a Garnacho benching against Sheffield United, then why not? Why not take your minus four for a double game week player? Now, I'm not sure Olise is the best one, because I'm not convinced he'll start both games either. But if you are, or if you think he gets, you know, 140, 150 over a Garnacho, who, even if he does start, maybe gets 60 or 70 if he doesn't perform well again, then it's fine. So it's a really tough decision, and I'm honestly not sure what I'd be doing in that scenario, because I do own Garnacho in my regular team, and I'm not sure if I would start him if I would take a minus four. I think I'd probably start him, but that's just me who doesn't take too many hits. I can totally understand why people would take a minus four for a double game week option instead, and just take away the fear of the benching. Question from Will McGarnagle. Is the in-form Bruno Fernandes a viable captaincy option? Free hitting and want to try and make some gains in my tight at the top mini league. Bruno Fernandes is a fine pick on free hit, but I wouldn't go as far as captain. And when he's only got one game, I know it's Sheffield United, but when you've got Salah, Saka, Eze, Solanke, and plenty of others, Odegaard, Havertz, you know, even Van Dijk, you know, Trent, I just think Bruno's well down the pecking order when it comes to captaincy. So I think owning him will be enough of a differential. I don't think I would captain him. Final question is from FPL Cricket. Been planning to triple captain Salah for a bit now, especially after some of the other high profile triple captain options didn't work out, but his form has been nervous. Would you still go for it? I think the big one, if you still have triple captain and you were planning on Salah this week, or maybe some others were planning on Saka this week or someone else, Cole Palmer's hard to ignore now for triple captain. He's got two double game weeks to come. Game week 35, Chelsea play Villa away, Tottenham at home. I think that's okay. Maybe 37's even better. Two away games, but it's Forest away, Brighton away for Cole Palmer. And Chelsea likely to still be playing for something at that point, which also helps the situation. So I'm trying to think what I would do if I still had triple captain. Let's say it's your only chip, so you can play it in any of these double game weeks. I still think I'd lean towards Salah this week. I like the fixtures for Liverpool, you know, still going for the league. You know, maybe a bit of a wounded animal after the defeat to Crystal Palace and getting knocked out of Europe. So yeah, I like Salah, but it's a very close call between himself and Cole Palmer. Now for the most important part, the latest free hit draft. It's very much a work in progress, but I'll tell you who I think are definite in it. So I don't have a goalkeeper in my latest draft at the moment, because I've got triple ups in outfield positions from Liverpool, Arsenal, Palace. So depending on what I land on, that will dictate who my goalkeeper is. So I think the goalkeeper is probably going to be the last pick on the free hit. In defence, Gabriel is a definite. Very likely to have Van Dijk as well, given what I've just talked about all through the episode. Munoz at Crystal Palace, I really want to own because he's got a lot of attacking potential. I think he got 19 goals in 4 seasons at Genk. I keep coming back to that, and I will kick myself if I don't get him and he scores in the double game week. Midfield, Saka is a definite. Salah is definitely in as well, as is Eze at Crystal Palace. Up front, Solanke is definitely staying. So I think that's going to be the core of the team. Gabriel, Van Dijk, Saka, Salah, Eze, Solanke. Probably Munoz as well. But like I said earlier, if I go Henderson, it might be a decision on Mateta versus Munoz, which is not an easy one. And in the current draft, so it's no goalkeeper at the moment. It's Munoz, Van Dijk, Gabriel, Saka, Salah, Eze. Kai Havertz is currently in the midfield position. And it's a 3-4-3 at the moment. Solanke, Darwin, and Mateta. But Darwin could be Diaz in a 3-5-2. Darwin could be Trent or Robertson in a 4 at the back formation. Mateta might drop out. Henderson might come in. Who else? Odegaard's still an option. Cunha, I still could end up on. So there's still tinkering to be done, but that gives you an idea of what the core of the team is going to be. And, you know, when I post my team on Twitter, you know, on Saturday at 1:30, there's not going to be any major surprises. You will not see a Brereton Diaz or an Ollie McBurney or anything like that in my squad. Captaincy, I think the top 4 candidates are Salah, Saka, Eze, Solanke. Salah is away to Fulham and Everton. I think that's going to be my captain. Saka is away to Wolves and home to Chelsea. Good option. Eze, 2 home games, which is attractive, but I think owning him is enough. West Ham at home, Newcastle at home. If I was chasing big time, let's say I was 150k right now and I was trying to get to 50k, I think I'd be on Eze captain this game week. Solanke's a good option as well. I think Solanke will get overlooked actually because of Salah, Saka and Eze and maybe a few others. Solanke's is right up there in the conversation. Villa away, Wolves away. He'll play. He's on penalties. Having a great season. And then you're into differentials. You know, your Diaz's, your Trent's, your Havertz. There's plenty of scope for differential captains this week if you fancy it. Just having a look at the captaincy poll there that I put on Twitter this morning. So I put those 4 options and no surprise, Salah has come out on top so far with 61% of the vote. Surprisingly, Eze second. I would have thought Saka would have been second, but again, maybe recent form is playing into that. Eze's got 22% of the vote. Saka's got 10% and Solanke is being overlooked by voters with just 6%. So if that helps you, then I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Hopefully that poll might help you with your captaincy decision, whether you want to stick with the poll or you want to be different with your choice. Thank you for taking the time to listen. As always, folks, best of luck for the double game week and I'll talk to you again next week. If you're not interested in the Patreon stuff, you can simply buy me a coffee instead to say thank you for the pod. buymeacoffee.com/FPL General. Anyone who does so gets an invite to my FPL Discord server. Wishing you all a green arrow this game week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.